Hi, I'm Howard Dayton, and today on Money Matters, the Bible's four basic guidelines for successful investing.
No, Howard won't be giving you any hot stock tips, but you will get God's principles of investing, and those are a sure thing. Hi, I'm Steve Moore. Later, a listener shares how handling money God's way has helped her and her husband weather life's storms. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, toll free, 1-800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Thanks for joining us today on Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries.
Well, there's been an awful lot of the news lately on investing, and the Bible gives us four basic guidelines for investing. The very first one is to be a steady plotter. I love what Proverbs 21 verse 5 says. Steady plotting brings prosperity. You know, nothing replaces consistent month after month investing. So regardless of the economy, regardless of the investment climate, just consistent, relentless, steady plotting. The second principle is to seek advice. You know, if you're not an experienced investor, find someone who is and who'd be willing to advise you, really willing to be a mentor to you. Now, make sure that your mentor understands what the Bible says about handling money, because it will make all the difference in the world in terms of the quality of their advice. And don't forget, please don't forget to ask your spouse for his or her advice when making investment decisions, because the Lord often speaks most clearly to us through our spouse. The third investing principle is to diversify. In other words, don't put all your eggs in one investment basket. Old wise King Solomon in Ecclesiastes wrote, "Divide your portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur upon the earth." You know, any investment can go up or it can go down. So spreading your investments around helps protect you from the down times. The final investment principle from the Bible is to limit the amount of debt that you use to make an investment. Listen carefully. Only borrow for an investment if the investment itself is the sole collateral for the debt. In that way, you're not personally liable for that investment debt. Well, there you have it. The Lord gives us the guidelines of steady plotting, seeking wise investment advice, diversifying, and limiting the amount of the debt that you use in your investments. You know, I am so thankful that the Word of God is practical when it comes to handling money. God loves us. God cares for us. He wants us to invest, and the good news is this. God knows the best way, the safest way, for us to do it.
Howard, even though there are safer ways to invest than other ways, there is always some component of risk.
That's right, Steve. Typically, the higher the return, the more risk that you assume.
Okay, well, that's why I want to follow God's principles.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Money Matters. Your host, Howard Dayton. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be back with your investment questions and general financial questions as well when Money Matters returns.
Attention parents, apparently there is considerable confusion regarding the most effectual means of educating offspring in the area of financial management.
Translation, it's tough to know the best way to teach your kids about money.
The ABCs of Money Package is a comprehensive amalgamation
Maybe I better explain this part.
Very well then, you may proceed.
The ABCs of Money Package has two resources that'll help you teach your kids how to handle money God's way. First, the popular ABC Learning Bank. It teaches the basics of budgeting. It has three compartments for storing money, one for savings, one for spending money, and one for giving. Plus, you get Howard and Bev Dayton's book, The ABCs of Handling Money God's Way.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. To obtain the ABCs of Money Package for your children, call 1-800-722-1976.
Wow, that was very simply put.
Indeed, it was an exceedingly explicable statement.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Not able to catch Money Matters on the radio each day? Listen online or via podcast. Details on the web at crown.org.
We're mighty glad you could stay with us today. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore. And Steve, I have a startling stat before we take calls.
You never fail me.
And this really is pretty sobering. Bankrate, which is a large organization, commissioned a survey, and they wanted to find out how Americans feel about credit cards and credit card debt. And to sum up what they found, an awful lot of people feel lousy. 25% worry about how they're going to pay their credit card bill each month. 28% feel guilty about how much they're charging on their cards. And once again, Steve, as we've said so many times, credit cards aren't sinful in and of themselves, but they are dangerous. Mm. It's so easy to spend more than you would if you used that hard green cash in your pocket rather than whipping out plastic.
So don't ever use your credit card for something you can't afford to pay for that month.
That's right.
All right. 1-800-525-7000, Fort Wayne, Indiana, WBCL. Let's welcome Elise.
Elise, thanks so much for calling today.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is just surrounding something that we just encountered. We had some people who initially wanted to speak to us about being able to buy our groceries online and have them delivered to our home. And we kind of met with them out of a sense of obligation. But once they were in our home, we quickly realized that they weren't really trying to sell their groceries or their product, which they never really spoke about. They mainly were talking to us about kind of a multi-level marketing business.
Yes.
And they wanted us to be involved in that.
Yes.
We have, I mean, everyone's heard of things like that, but what my question is and what appalled us so much was some of the Christian rhetoric that they use. We're actually doing a Crown Financial study right now, and so we were kind of keyed into some of the things that, some of the words that they were using, and I think that that's what made it so disturbing was that our whole perception of money and possessions is even being changed, and so them saying, well, now you can have the life you've always wanted, but then saying, well, you could also give more. It was just very disturbing.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, the key passage is in 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 11. And these are very powerful verses. They really fly in the face of our culture. Verse 9 says, those who want to get rich, and that's the key, who want to get rich, here's what happens to them. At least they fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. And then verse 10 tells us why it's dangerous to want to get rich. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. And then verse 11 tells us what to do if we're confronted with this. But flee from these things, you man of God. And this is, as I mentioned, totally contrary to what the world around us is saying. I mean, we're encouraged to want to get rich, but here's the bottom line. And frankly, I wrestled with this in my own life for several years before really developing very clear thinking on this. When we want to get rich, you know, verse 10 tells us that we're actually loving money. It's that for the love of money. And then in Matthew 24, verse 6, the Lord tells us that we can't serve two masters. Mm-hmm. We're going to either love one and hate the other. You can't serve God and money. So when I am loving money and I'm serving money, I'm actually hating God. I'm not developing that close relationship with him. I'm centered on self-centeredness, focused on what I want. However, what the Lord tells us is that we're to be faithful stewards, faithful managers of whatever he entrusts to us. And when we do that, we can really be Christ-centered in our thinking, growing closer to him, handling our money his way. And sometimes the byproduct of being faithful is that you become wealthy. But it allows you, when we're Christ-centered and we're just focused on being faithful stewards instead of just wanting to pile it up for ourselves, doing things that are really often outside of God's will in order to get rich, that's where the danger occurs. So I admire your spiritual sensitivity to this. If they're close friends, I would pray about going and talking to them to, you know, go through this passage of 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 11. It's really important for them spiritually, not only what they're doing to other people, but it's spiritually dangerous for them to have this as a mindset.
Well, you know, this kind of thinking isn't really limited to multi-level organizations. You can be a plumber or an attorney or a bookkeeper and still get sucked into, you know, I've got to make all the money I can, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly right. And the reason I probably feel so passionately about this, Elise, is that the man, his name was Mike, who led me to Christ and helped me grow for the first couple of years in my walk with Christ, did have a character flaw, and that is he wanted to get rich. Ended up divorcing his wife, leaving his four young children, all because he had this root problem of wanting to get rich.
Hmm. Elise, I hope that helps you just a little bit. We're happy to hear that you're taking the Crown class. Is that working well for you?
Yes, we're really enjoying it.
Great. Keep at it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Elise.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very spiritually attuned on her part.
Absolutely, as we all need to be, believe me.
Let's go up to Beantown, Boston, Massachusetts, WEZE. And Louise, what's your question today?
My question today, my husband and I are both in our mid-50s, and we've been in the ministry most of our adult life. He is a pastor. And we have not saved a big nest egg for those later years. I wondered how wise would it be, or where is the place, where does it fit in the scheme of things to have long-term health care? Would it be better for us to invest our money in long-term health care at this point, or to invest it and save it in other areas?
Louise, how much savings, how much debt do you have?
We have minimal debt. We have about a total of, maybe $2,000 of debt.
Okay.
And, maybe not even that much. So then that does not include, we are in the process of buying a piece of land. We were fortunate enough, by God's grace, to be able to buy that on a land contract over the course of 4 years. And we are drawing from an annuity that we had put away many years ago when my mother passed away.
Okay. How much do you have in the way of savings, Louise?
We have around $1,800 in our savings.
All right.
And then we have some mutual funds.
Okay.
Put away.
Well, I tell folks when it comes to long-term care insurance, the decision should be based in large part on your financial situation. If a person has enough to pay for a nursing home and still have enough for retirement, they don't need it. That's not where you are right now.
No.
If a person has very little, Medicaid will pay for your nursing care. And again, at that point, you don't need it. And I think that's where you are right now. The person who should carry long-term care insurance is a person who's in between. They don't quite have enough to pay for the nursing home, but they've got some savings and retirement built up. They're the ones that need to consider doing that. At this stage, you don't need it. But because the long-term care insurance premiums really go up when you reach age 62, what I would encourage you to do is when you reach age 62, you've got that year, maybe at age 61, just evaluate again where you are at that point. And if you've accumulated some more assets by that time, that might be the best time to go ahead and purchase the long-term care insurance.
Thank you so much, and God's blessings to all of you.
Well, same here.
Thanks, Louise.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, if you're concerned about your financial future, and who isn't, I have to recommend Howard's brand new book, Your Money Map. Your Money Map is for everyone, single or married, young or old, whether God's given you a little or a lot. If you'd like to maximize the resources that God has provided you, check this out today. Your Money Map, when you call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org, that's crown.org, and you'll see all of our resources there. Cedar Falls, Iowa, KNWS. Billy, what's your question for Howard Dayton today?
My question is, I'm a single guy in my mid-20s, and I'm in a point in my life where I actually live with a friend from college who owns a house. I'm wondering when's the best time to look into getting a house of my own, especially with the interest rates going down.
Yeah, really good question, Billy. How much debt do you have? How much savings do you have?
Well, I have about 23,000 left in school loans to pay off.
All right.
$18,000 of it is in a fixed interest rate of about 3.5%.
Okay.
So, the other one, I just have my car to pay off, about $9,000 left to pay on that, but I don't have any credit card debt or anything like that.
Great. How much do you have in the way of savings, Billy?
I have about, last time I checked, I have just around $12,000.
Good, great. What's your income and what rent are you paying your roomie?
Okay, well, see, I'm at an income right now. I just got my 1099 and it was, $57,000.
Very good.
And I'm in the insurance business, and so I'm at a point where my renewals will keep building up.
Great, here. Great.
And I only pay my roommate $200 a month rent.
Well, this is a cool thing. You know, with your income, the small amount of rent, if you spend carefully, you ought to make just monstrous financial progress. And I want you to follow the Crown Money Map, and I'm going to send you the book, The Money Map, so that you can do just that.
Okay.
Here's what I'd do. Very first thing I'd do is I'd focus on paying off the car loan. Then I'd focus on paying off the student loan before you buy the house. Then what I would do is I'd continue to save like a crazy man.
Okay.
Save up as much as you can for the down payment. And a key to this whole process is to use a spending plan, a budget. And if you're not currently using one, if you need help on doing that, we can help you. You know, this is a very unique time for you. You're single, you're young, you have a great income, a growing income, and your cost of living, you know, is very low. I would hope that, you know, over this next year, you could have a surplus. I want you to think about this, a surplus of a couple of $1,000 a month.
Okay.
A little over a year, you could pay off your car and your student loan. A little over 2 years, you could save up enough for a 20% down payment on the purchase of your home. And that's really where I'd like you to be. I'd love to see you get your home, but where you'd be able to put enough down where you don't need a first and second mortgage, or you don't need the private mortgage insurance. I mean, just get yourself in a position where you're really financially healthy. And the key to that is to use a spending plan. And we've got some great tools for you. I'd love to, if you're into computers, I'd love to send you the Money Map financial software, or if you'd like to do one that's web-based, Envelopes is a great tool for you as well. But, I mean, you're close. I mean, you've got all the pieces in the of the puzzle there right before you. You just have to start making sure that you're really careful on your spending, and you can make huge progress, Billy.
Right, and that's the one thing I'm having to start paying more attention to is the spending. But I wanted to make sure as well, and that was my other question, is if I should wait till I can put 20% down, if that would be the smart thing, because I'm only paying $200 a month rent, I didn't figure that was too much to pay into rent and not have to worry. I can invest the rest of it.
Do you feel guilty only paying your roommate $200 a month, Billy?
Well, fortunately, he doesn't have to worry about it. So when he said I could move in for $200,
yeah.
I didn't think twice about the fact that I was moving in. So.
Well, buy an extra pizza once in a while, you know, and treat everybody. Hey, Billy, we stay on the line. Let us get some information from you, and we'll send you a couple of resources, all right?
Thank you very much.
Okay, Billy, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. To be in your 20s again, carefree, living with a roomie, $200 a month, huh?
I tell you, sounds like the old days. Hey, next on Money Matters, how managing money God's way has helped a couple manage some really major medical and tax problems. You'll be encouraged when we continue.
When an emergency happens, and at some point in your life one will, you or your family will need access to some important information, and you'll probably need it fast. Knowing who to call, what accounts you have, and where, and which policy numbers you'll need can make that bad situation a manageable one. Unfortunately, most of us haven't put everything in one secure location so those who need it can get to it if we can't. Crown Financial Ministries is pleased to offer a solution. the Set Your House in Order software that allows you to enter, update, and retrieve personal information and documents in 60 categories, such as loan information, bank accounts, medical records, and living wills. Your information is secure because the data is encrypted and the software is password protected. Order your copy of Set Your House in Order today. You'll receive free software updates and free online support. Get complete details when you visit crown.org. Crown.org.
You're listening to Money Matters. I'm Howard Dayton. Well, you've probably heard it said that at any time in your life, you're either going into a storm, you're already in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But have you ever thought how applying God's financial principles could make weathering these storms and trials easier? I think you will after you listen to this incredibly encouraging testimony called in by one of our listeners.
Hi, my name is Molly Hall, and we listen to WORD in Pittsburgh. And I just wanted to give testimony of how God used Crown. We took the class when we lived in Mississippi, and through my husband becoming a Christian in prison, and we working in prison ministry, and then my husband becoming ill, and I was supporting the family, and then I became ill, of how God has been so faithful, and that the principles of getting out of debt that we owed from when my, before my husband was a Christian and was on the run, how he owed taxes, and we were able to pay those back, and God has been encouraging me every day to rely more on him than on the security of my job. But God is faithful, and I'm just grateful for the materials that were instilled in us way before we got to a major crisis point. So thank you again, and just thank you for carrying on the vision, and we're just grateful for you. Thank you.
I tell you, Steve, we really don't know what trials are before us, do we? But we do know this much, that the Lord wants us to prepare ourselves spiritually by growing more deeply into Christ and prepare ourselves financially so that when those trials in life come, we're able to weather them.
Yeah, it's so important to understand God's word before those trials hit. Obviously, God is God, and he can minister to us in the midst of all that. But if you hide God's word in your heart, if you know what God's word says about various aspects of life and how he wants to respond to us and how he expects us to respond to him, it's a lot easier when you're in the midst of it all.
Absolutely, Steve. And certainly handling money God's way and making progress on the journey to true financial freedom is part of that. You become financially healthier, you become financially more stable, you work to put aside savings for emergencies, you pay off debt, and every time you do those things, at least in the financial part of a trial, it becomes easier because you're better prepared.
Yeah. Molly also mentioned that she learned God's financial principles in a Crown small group study, and when our listeners give to Crown Financial Ministries, they help make opportunities like the one that Molly availed herself of possible.
Exactly right, Steve. I mean, Crown's a nonprofit ministry, and we depend on the gifts of God's people to continue to serve people. We've been doing it for more than 30 years, never used a penny of debt in our entire history, and our philosophy is very simple. If God provides our needs through his people, we'll continue to serve. And I'd like you to know that we are very careful about how we spend every penny that you give to support Crown. And this would be a great time if the Lord puts Crown on your heart to do just that.
If you'd like to know more about the life-changing work that God is doing through Crown Financial Ministries, if you'd like to support this organization, or would just like some more information, I invite you to call us or go online. The phone number is 1-800-722-1976, 800-722-1976, or check us out online, crown.org. That's crown.org. And don't forget, if you have a testimony to tell, like Molly's testimony today, we'd love to hear from you. Just call 1-800-525-7000 and follow the prompts. Leave your testimony or your question, 1-800-525-7000. Well, that's it for today. I'm Steve Moore. Thanks so much for being with us.
And I'm Howard Dayton. I sure hope you can join us again next time as together you and I take another step on the journey to true financial freedom.